or go online to www.nrtw.org. Once again, www.nrtw.org.
The Ron Paul Revolution is alive, well, and accelerating. People from all ages and walks of life have rediscovered freedom and its greatest modern champion, Congressman Ron Paul. As a result of Dr. Paul's campaign for president, many people are choosing opportunity over fear, peace over war, prosperity instead of crippling government debt, honest money instead of rampant inflation, and freedom over stifling regulation. Government isn't the answer. It is the problem. Let's move the revolution forward. Join the Fox Valley Freedom Coalition at our next meeting to advance the Ron Paul Freedom Revolution. We meet at Empty Barrels, 98 West Main Street, which is Route 72, just west of the Fox River in West Dundee, on the first Saturday of the month at 5 p.m. For more information, call Jared at 224-402-8148. That's 224-402-8148.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Pretty well for opening day of baseball after it snowed.
It's a beautiful winter wonderland out there.
Yeah,
for opening day of baseball.
Yep. At least the Northsiders are playing. They're down in Houston for their opening game, so.
Well, that's not so bad. But, I'll continue my annual speech. I'll go into my annual spiel about baseball playing way too many games.
Really?
In the season. I really think so. Yeah, I think baseball was made to be played in nice weather. And it's made to be watched in nice weather.
Uh-huh, it sure is.
And April and October don't apply in most parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
I would go to a 100-game season. I don't know, I guess.
Or go online to www.nrtw.org. Once again, www.nrtw.org.
The Ron Paul Revolution is alive, well, and accelerating. People from all ages and walks of life have rediscovered freedom and its greatest modern champion, Congressman Ron Paul. As a result of Dr. Paul's campaign for president, many people are choosing opportunity over fear, peace over war, prosperity instead of crippling government debt, honest money instead of rampant inflation, and freedom over stifling regulation. Government isn't the answer. It is the problem. Let's move the revolution forward. Join the Fox Valley Freedom Coalition at our next meeting to advance the Ron Paul Freedom Revolution. We meet at Empty Barrels, 98 West Main Street, which is Route 72, just west of the Fox River in West Dundee, on the first Saturday of the month at 5 p.m. For more information, call Jared at 224-402-8148. That's 224-402-8148.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Pretty well for opening day of baseball after it snowed.
It's a beautiful winter wonderland out there.
Yeah,
for opening day of baseball.
Yep. At least the Northsiders are playing. They're down in Houston for their opening game, so.
Well, that's not so bad. But, I'll continue my annual speech. I'll go into my annual spiel about baseball playing way too many games.
Really?
In the season. I really think so. Yeah, I think baseball was made to be played in nice weather. And it's made to be watched in nice weather.
Uh-huh, it sure is.
And April and October don't apply in most parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
I would go to a 100-game season. I don't know. I guess some like franchises like the Cubs, they bring in the crowds no matter what. I suppose it's just a matter of economics, but it's a matter of baseball purity. I think going to a 100-game schedule and World Series in September would be great.
But World Series in September?
That would never happen.
Huh.
That would never happen.
Well, I kind of enjoy the long season of baseball because I'm a huge baseball fan, and I enjoy baseball in October, so I have to be okay on the other side of that fence for
okay
you.
Well, that's fine. That and I enjoy baseball, too, but that the other thing I would change is I would go to a three balls for a walk and two strikes for a strikeout.
Yeah, there you go.
Quicken the game up.
Sure it would, absolutely. Start with a two balls and one strike count. Every batter gets up there and start with two balls and one strike, so it's two balls and you walk and two strikes and you're out. So I kind of agree with you about that. Can shorten the game up quite a bit.
Shorten the game and make it more exciting, sure. I think. There'd be not so much of that wait out, you know.
Well, now you're talking about an entire traditional game.
I know. And baseball is all tradition, so
absolutely
that'll never change.
It's got to be the most tradition-steep sport in the United States, so.
Absolutely. All right. And one more quick sports note. Tonight is the best sports on TV, I think, in the country, and I mean during the year, and that's the NCAA Finals.
Oh, is that tonight?
And tonight is going to be especially good, I think, with North Carolina's got a great team.
Mm-hmm.
But Michigan State, I think, is a team of destiny with great defense and a very balanced attack. And they show that a good basketball team will beat a bunch of brawny thugs any day, which they did to Connecticut. Connecticut looked like they're a bunch of Shaq O'Neals out there with not so much talent but just size. And Michigan State was able to handle them. So my prediction is still going to be, as I said last week, that Michigan State is going to win tonight. That'll be my prediction. We'll see.
Going out on a limb, huh?
Well, last week, remember, I went out a little. I said Michigan State would win. I did say Villanova beat North Carolina in a huge upset, and that didn't happen.
Okay.
But I had Michigan State winning the semis, and I'm having them go all the way. So we'll see. All right. On to more important stuff. Binghamton, New York. 13 people dead at some American Civic Center, government-run center. And, of course, it's a tragedy. And, of course, the person who perpetrated the crime is 100% responsible for that crime. But I think other issues need to be brought up surrounding this. One is that why is it there's always mass killings in areas like government centers and schools where guns are strictly prohibited? Why is that, folks? You know, every day, I know most people don't see this in the mass media, but I have news service that highlights episodes of where people have saved their property, saved their lives by using guns. And this happens almost daily throughout the country, folks. You don't hear about it. But 7-Elevens being held up, that sort of thing. And most store managers have a weapon underneath and they use it. Mm-hmm. And there's not mass murders involved in these things. The mass murders happened in schools and in places like the Civic Center where guns are prohibited. And I think it's time, folks, we recognize that fact, that guns actually save lives in net, not the reverse. The other, actually, to me, even more important point, which I had a little discussion, argument with my wife about. She's never going to understand this. And maybe most people won't, and maybe I'm all wet. And I'm not placing blame on anybody but the person who perpetrated the crime. But as a matter of public policy and as a philosophical approach to making things as best as we can for American society, you have to ask your question, why do people do this? Why do they pick people out of, a lot of times, out of thin air? I mean, with no purpose. Otherwise, they just see a group and they start shooting. with no individual intent involved. And why? Why such senseless killings? And I would suggest it stems from, first of all, we have to make note of the fact that we're human beings and that problems will always exist and murders will always happen. But in certain philosophical constructs, it seems to me there will be less murders, less senseless murders happening. And I would suggest that when a society is built on the premise of collectivism, of lumping people into groups, whether gays or women or blacks or Latinos or the rich and the poor, the old and the young, the educated and the non-educated, when you lump people into groups and in dichotomies like that, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for people to think in group think identification. You're promoting the idea that individuals do not matter, that the collective group matters. And this whole notion we're all in it together, we must bail out the big banks for the good of all and all this. It's all part of this collectivist mentality that it's all for the group and not judging the individual. Well, I would suggest, folks, that, and I don't know if it's true in this specific case or not, but I would suggest that that promotes a concept amongst individuals to look at others as parts of groups. And when they get disgruntled, when they get down and out, when they feel like they're backed into a corner and their life is falling apart as, you know, falling apart at that time, that they are going to, since the construct of society is groupthink, collectivist, they're going to think as when they lash back, they're going to lash back collectively at groups without real motive vis-a-vis an individual, and that they're going to tend to shoot at groups and get mad at groups of people as opposed to getting mad at an individual. Now, I'm not promoting murder, whether it's if you have intent or not, but it seems to me that groupthink, that collectivist thinking, fosters this type of mass murder situation. People may disagree. I don't know. That's just my opinion. And I know people who aren't individualists, they don't have the individualist mindset, have a hard time grasping at this, and they think you're just absolutely nuts. But I really do believe, and the whole idea of war is the war is the worst of a result of collectivism, as far as I'm concerned. It's looking at a group as the enemy. And when you have that at the top of it, with the government, the whole people supposedly sanctioning that process of war, it starts to create that mentality in the individual mind, that warlike collectivist mentality. And once you have that, folks, the Judeo-Christian concept, natural rights concept, objectivist concept of natural rights is thrown out, of individual responsibility is thrown out the window. And if we want to start to move things for the better society, we have to start thinking in terms of individual morality, individual freedom, self-responsibility. That's the only ultimate morality. And collectivist morality is actually immorality. And mass shootings, whether it's through war or genocide or just mass murders as we saw in Binghamton, New York the other day, are perhaps the result of that concept. We're going to have a guest today. It's Chris Jenner. And he is running for re-election of Cary School Board. And we'll talk to him about his upcoming election after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Tired of the status quo? Do you feel out of touch with the people who claim to be serving you in office? Well, so are we, and we plan on doing something about it. We are the Fox Valley Freedom Coalition, a nonpartisan group of citizens who believe we, the people, still mean something. When we, the people, get informed, active, and involved, we begin the restoration of accountability in government to the people under constitutional principles and true liberty to the individual. If you want to do something to change the status quo, then join us at our monthly meeting in Empty Barrels, 98 West Main Street, which is Route 72, just west of the Fox River in West Dundee, on the first Saturday of the month at 5 p.m. For more information, call Jared at 224-402-8148. That's 224-402-8148.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome back to the show and a frequent, actually, caller and icon of a libertarian school board member who's really keeping Kerry on his toes, Chris Jenner. How you doing?
Icon, huh? Thanks.
I mean that. And actually, didn't you get the Daily Herald's endorsement?
I did. There are five of us running for 4 seats, and I was one of the 4 to be endorsed by the Daily Herald.
Well, congratulations. I think for a person who has been fighting for accountability, I mean, radical concepts like accountability and openness and competitive contracts and that sort of thing. I mean, that doesn't sound so radical, but in the realm of school boards, it seems to be the fact that you've convinced the establishment, so to speak, in the Daily Herald to endorse you. I think that's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, in the parallel universe of government schools, some of those concepts that you mentioned do seem kind of radical. But,
so
I've had some success recently. If I can mention a couple of policies that I brought to the board, and I kind of want to mention this. I would certainly encourage people. I've been trying to encourage people to run for an office such as school board. We don't have the ballot access problems that you have when you run in a partisan race. In most school districts, you need 50 signatures. It's really, not that hard to get on the ballot. And people might be concerned, well, gosh, if it's me, one person against 6 others, what can I do? There's actually a fair amount you can do. I get together on a regular basis. I've kind of formed a group of like-minded members on boards in other districts. And I think we've had quite an impact in our various districts. We've had one member in a West Suburban district that he was elected in 2007, and within a year he was saving his district over $1.5 million a year just by bidding out insurance, which they hadn't done in 20 years. Another thing that I've done in District 26 is brought forth a few good government policies. No pay-for-play we did back in 2006. I brought a policy to the board recommending that if any vendor doing business with the school district contributes to a board member's campaign or a referendum campaign, that they will no longer be doing business with the district. Recently in December, we passed a voluntary transparency policy, and we now have a lot of information on our website that most districts would require a Freedom of Information Act request to obtain that information. And the thing is, when you bring a policy like this to the board, are they going to say no? No, we don't want to be, we want to have pay for play. We don't want to be transparent. So in certain cases, you kind of put them on the spot and say, well, you know, you want your constituents to hear you say you're not going to be transparent and you're going to allow pay for play. So, like I say, there's a number of things that the individual board members can accomplish.
Well, and that's terrific. Now, you're running against how many spots are open and how many people are running?
There's four open seats and there are five candidates. There's three of us were elected in 2005. And one person was appointed by the board in August of 2008. So there's basically four incumbents and one newcomer.
Okay. Is the teachers union, are they going after you at all?
As far as I can tell, they are not. We had our candidate night with, meet the candidate night with the union on Thursday night of last week. And it was actually rather cordial and, you know, friendly. I haven't received a call saying that they endorse me, but I also really haven't gotten any kind of indication that there's a large push to make sure that I don't get one of the seats.
Okay. What future plans do you have for let's say, fiscal discipline in your district? Do you have any other ideas that you're gonna be pursuing?
Yeah, definitely. There are quite a few areas that this has been an extremely educational 4 years, learning how this system works. One author calls it the public education cartel. There are really just a number of organizations. Schools are so much more than teachers and students and a few principals. As I've come to learn how this whole thing works, that the system really is set up to serve the needs of adults long before it serves the needs of children. There are a number of other policies that I'd like to work on. We haven't had a balanced budget in District 26 since I've been on the board. I have voted against every budget that's been brought to us because every budget, the budget itself, has a spending more than we're taking in. And I don't see how you can have a budget like that, whether you're an individual or whether you're a business or whether you're a school.
Well, and it's not like the school district can print money, so I'm not even sure how they get away with that.
They increasingly go into debt. Some districts will turn to the taxpayers and, you know, raise taxes.
Are there any statutory limitations as far as how much debt they can go into?
There are. I couldn't recite the formula off the top of my head, but it has to do with, you know, basically your budget and the amount of debt you take on. But, yeah, there is a limitation to how much debt they can legally take on.
Okay.
But some of the other policies, there's a policy that I ran across in District 211. It's a high school district in Palatine. And they basically have a policy that says we will not issue any debt, unless it's been voted on by the taxpayers and they voted for it. The reason that policy is effective is there's something called a backdoor referendum. School districts can issue, in certain cases, they can issue bonds without taxpayer approval. They basically have to put a notice in the newspaper, and within 30 days, if no one comes up with a petition signed by 10% of the voters in that district, then they can issue the bonds.
Wow. At 10%, that's a huge number to get.
It is a big number. It's a lot more than you would need to get on the ballot. So, and, you know, a lot of times people won't even realize that the district has put the notice in the paper and, you know, the bonds will just get issued. So that's one policy that I would intend to pursue going forward. I think one other thing to understand is, you know, a lot of the costs that go into this, as I mentioned, there are so many organizations that are involved. In fact, a lot of them have associations, and I have a rather lengthy list of them. School attorneys, Illinois Council of School Attorneys, Illinois Association of School Personnel Administrators, Illinois School Food Service Association. This one I get a kick out of. The Illinois chapter of the National School Public Relations Association. Why do schools need public relations?
I suppose because they keep on stealing from the taxpayer, I suppose.
I guess so. But the point being, things like finances, doing business with a school district is very lucrative and it's big business, and a lot of the costs aren't really made clear to the taxpayers or even to the school board. So understanding the costs of our attorneys, understanding the costs of all our financial dealings, That is something else that I really want to dig deeper into should I be elected to a second term.
What about the do you have many like assistant principals under the principal or super assistant superintendents? That I know in District 300 they have a bunch of those that it seems to me a lot of their time is spent just dealing with the paperwork from the federal government, which is associated with taking money from the federal government. Have you ever looked into the possibility of seeing whether or not it'd be cost effective maybe not to take federal money and have less bureaucracy that would have to handle it?
Absolutely. I've looked into stuff like that. In fact, that's something else that I think I'd like to investigate more going into a second term. It's interesting that you mentioned the federal government, as I think you would probably agree, any federal government involvement in education is unconstitutional. Pull out your constitution, look through it, the word school's not in there anywhere, the word education's not in there anywhere. It was a matter to be left to the states. So no child left behind, it's unconstitutional. Federal money, one program in particular caught my eye recently. I've heard about it for as long as I've been on the school board, but I only recently have discovered just how heinous this program is. It's called E-Rate. And anybody that has a cell phone or a telephone at home, you'll notice on your bill there's something called a universal service charge or something like that. It's a few pennies. It might be 50 cents a month. It's a small amount, but everybody pays it. And when you get everybody that has a phone paying that, it adds up to a lot of money. The intent, and this was either created or I think it was modified during the Clinton administration. I think this was one of Al Gore's things. He wanted to bring the internet to rural areas and and to schools and libraries.
Right.
So they created this program called E-Rate, where the federal government would subsidize costs of of telecommunications, bringing the internet to those locations.
Oh, didn't Al Gore, of course, invented the internet, right?
Of course,
that's why
we all know that.
Right. Okay.
but this program, since its inception, has been incredibly fraught with waste, fraud, and corruption.
No.
I know how shocking it is. The amount of money that's been spent prosecuting people, sending people to jail, keeping people incarcerated. And then the people that actually get caught. You can read stories about E-Rate where it's used to purchase hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment that then sits in a warehouse, it ages, it becomes obsolete, it's not deployed, it's never used. And I read one estimate that, and this really tells me a lot, take this number with a grain of salt, it's rather anecdotal, but the estimate was that for every dollar of money that is spent in a classroom on telecommunications equipment via E-Rate costs the taxpayers $30 to generate. Now, where I come from in private industry, things should be the opposite. It should cost you a dollar to generate $30 of money into a district. But
right.
But that's it. The program is that inefficient and that costly, and it's insane.
It's like almost every other government program. I think there, last time I saw these figures, this is over 10 years ago, but there was like 4.5 bureaucrats for every agriculture department for every farmer in the country. 4.5 bureaucrats.
And we still have a Department of Agriculture because
parity. I don't know. it's really insane. Now Obama says he's going to start to tax some of this stuff, some of the subsidies, at least to the rich people, rich farmers. We'll see. But
yeah.
it's we're getting off topic, but that's indicative of what government does. 80 for every dollar that the taxpayer pays out to welfare. My understanding is that it's eaten up by 80% of it's eaten up by bureaucracy.
Yeah, and as far as refusing the E-Rate money, I think last year our district took in approximately $30,000 in E-Rate money. Well, the reaction is, well, yeah, we're not happy that there's waste, but this is $30,000 we wouldn't otherwise have. And we probably paid a consultant a certain amount to fill out all the paperwork to make sure everything was in line, but yet the net gain to the district was $30,000, so we kind of bury our heads in the sand about how to, you know, what did it cost the taxpayers to generate that $30,000?
Well, and yeah, and that's the problem with there's no direct accountability when you have a federal system like that. If money was just generated locally for something, then the taxpayers locally would say, hey, we don't want to pay for this. But since it's socialized over the whole country.
Yeah, you would think the taxpayers would take much more interest if everything was generated locally. And that's why when I hear people say, oh, gee, the state's not paying its fair share, do you really want to send your money to Springfield? Do you think you're going to get it back?
And of course, the other part of this issue is, of course, any time the government subsidizes something, they're going to try to control it. And so they're going to try to tell the teachers in this local school districts like Cary how to teach.
And how to teach and what to teach.
And what to teach, right.
Some of the bills that you see going through the General Assembly, you have to scratch your head and say, you know, you guys have a multi-billion dollar budget problem, and yet you're sitting here saying students will be taught about this, you know, some random little war that occurred, you know, in 1884 in some, you know, random country. So, it astonishes me that bills are introduced like that and that the General Assembly actually gives them consideration.
We're talking with Chris Jenner. He is a candidate for re-election to the Cary School Board. Phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Have any questions, observations, perspectives, please give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hi folks, Kenneth John here. Lori Jenner, a trusted friend of mine, is a well-respected realtor in the area. Lori shares our political views. Lori has many years' experience with a great grip on the current real estate market and the effects of the economy. Lori always works extremely hard to help buyers determine their needs, affordability, wants, and desires. She treats every client with great care, listens, and delivers when it comes to your real estate needs. Lori will donate one half her earnings from anyone referred by a listener buying a home in the next 3 months to help keep Freedom Rings on the air. Let me repeat that. Lori will donate one half of her earnings from anyone referred by a listener buying a home in the next 3 months to keep Freedom Rings on the air. So give her a call. Help yourself. Help Freedom Rings. Help the economy for that matter. Call Lori Jenner at Keller Williams Success Realty, and that's at www.yourhometeamadvantage.com. That's yourhometeamadvantage.com. Phone number is 847-287-1432. That's 847-287-1432.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazzieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazzieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. One announcement. We still haven't changed that ad for the Fox Valley Freedom Coalition, which, by the way, now is called the Campaign for Liberty, the Fox Valley Campaign for Liberty. We're meeting this Saturday, which is the second Saturday of the month, 5 p.m., at the Main Street Cafe in Algonquin. That's the Main Street Cafe in Algonquin on Route 31, just south of Algonquin Road, 5 p.m.,
There's a slight change for this month's meeting.
Oh, you're right.
You might want to give a little plug to.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Oh, I have such a scatterbrain. Well, there's no real meeting this month, folks, come to think of it, because people are going to be at my house, as a matter of fact. That's how much of a scatterbrain I am. We are going to make signs for the Chicago Tea Party coming up April 15th. That's going to be the Tea Party is at 12 o'clock at it's noon at the Daily Center. Noon at the Daily Center Tea Party. I believe there's going to be thousands people. Like, I think Terry Savage is going to speak there. Last I heard,
we're anticipating a good crowd there. And if somebody is unable to make it downtown, there's also a tea party going on in Crystal Lake with a follow up at the coffee station in downtown Cary at 3 o'clock.
Okay. So there you have it. If you want to get involved in sign making, you can give me a call at 847-426-1974. That's where the meeting will be, at my place.
Kind of, if I can plug the website for the Fox
Sure.
Freedom Coalition. It's also changed. It is now www.meetup.com/Fox Valley C4L, the numeral 4, C4L.
Which, of course, stands for Campaign for Liberty, but it's C4L.
Okay. Yeah, oh, just one other thing. In the interest of full disclosure, your ad for Lori Jenner, there is a relationship. She would be my wife, yeah. Who I must publicly thank for everything she has put up with regarding the school board.
She's actually allowing you to run for re-election. Which...
She gets more frustrated with what goes on there than I do, but I want to thank her for everything she's put up with.
She's a great lady. All right. I think we got all our business taken care of, but one more time, I want to urge everybody to make this going to be huge, this tea party at noon at the Daily Center on April 15th. Take tax day off and come show your support against the income tax, the Federal Reserve, and all these bailouts. All right, what do you say we go to the phones, Chris?
Sure, let it rip.
All right, we have Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Ken. Hey, Chris. How you doing?
All right.
Hey, Ken, first of all, another great show, and I recommend to the audience, you know, if they like this program and help you keep this on the air by getting a hold of you and doing either a sponsorship or a one-time donation to help keep this fine program on the air, because there are very few like it. Chris, commend you for your job down there running for school board again, you know, once again, you know, keeping their feet to the fire and coming up with options that otherwise probably would not be presented by your typical politician who does not think outside the box. Will not look at new ideas. And I also believe in your point that, you know, people should get involved. You know, running for these local offices is not that hard. Point of fact, I'm a Marine. If I'm smart enough to get on the ballot, anybody listening to this radio should be able smart enough to get on the ballot. And I'm running in Sycamore in the 4th Ward, and I'll be hopefully getting the vote tomorrow because this weekend the Sycamore firefighters gave me their full and public endorsement in the Daily Chronicle in DeKalb. I think it was an opinion column on Saturday, but they did a great write-up on me, and I'm appreciative of their support. But, you know, to the audience, you know, if you're not happy with the government you have, you know, Chris, you know, set the standard. He started this out. I stopped complaining. I started getting involved. I'm on the ballot tomorrow. We'll see where the people lie. But a great program you got down there. And, Chris, stay in the fight, and hopefully this weekend I can shake your hand and we'll both be elected.
Sounds good to me. Congratulations on your endorsement, Mike. You're doing a great job down there.
Well, I'm trying to keep their feet, you know, to the fire down there on spending. The city council in Sycamore is talking about laying off firefighters, but they got $165,000 budgeted for bike trails. Go figure.
A little problem with priorities there, huh?
Yep, but anyways, you guys are doing a great job down there. I'll get off. You guys can get to the next caller, and I look forward to seeing you guys Saturday and then again on April 15th downtown.
Very good. Thanks for your call, Mike.
Yep. Bye-bye.
All right. And we have John. Hey, John.
Hi, Ken. Chris.
John.
I wanted to know, you mentioned that the state legislature gets involved in changing curriculum. I wanted to know if, specifically how much control the local school board has on curriculum.
Theoretically, the school board has control other than what the state tells us. In reality, it's really the administration that decides what will be taught. In nearly every district that I've been familiar with, the administration brings to the board recommendations for curriculum, and the board's reaction usually is kind of a bobblehead reaction. Sure, let's defer to the experts. What do we know? We're not experts in curriculum. I've tried to take a different approach. It's a little bit more difficult because curricular issues are emotional. It's not like numbers. It's not discrete where it's clear one and one adds up to two, although in the math program that my district adopted, I'm not sure that that's really the case. A couple years ago, we were in the process of adopting a new math curriculum, and I disagreed with the choice. I'd read about it, and one of the standards, or a couple of the standards that I use to determine whether a curriculum is good or bad, number one, are there groups of angry parents on the Internet about, you know, posting bad things about the program? Number two, are there any state legislatures trying to pass laws to completely ban the program? So those are a couple things that you can look at. This program that we adopted, there were at least two state legislatures that were considering bills to ban the use of this program, and there's angry parent groups about it across the country. And yet the reaction of the rest of the board was, well, what do we know about curriculum? Let's defer to the experts, and the board adopted the curriculum. So I think, you know, the short answer is the board should have a lot more control than it exercises. At the end of the day, though, whatever the board decides could be trumped by the state legislature.
Okay. Well, the main reason I asked about that was the Dover, Pennsylvania business with the intelligent design versus evolution, and the amount of money that was spent on legal defense of what the school board was doing in court, and how much that cost that school district. And if that was a problem in Illinois anywhere that you knew of?
I'm not aware of any huge legal expenses on issues like that. I've seen little skirmishes down in District 14, 214 at the high school district in Arlington Heights. There's a lady on the board there who had been questioning some of the textbooks that were on the recommended reading list. And I don't think she necessarily wanted to have them taken off the list, but she was saying, you know, parents ought to know what their kids are being recommended to read. Although, to my knowledge, there wasn't a large legal fee incurred. Certainly, how the First Amendment applies in schools is a significant issue. There have been seminars about it, and I know a number of articles written about it.
Okay. Anything else, John?
Does your school district maintain its own library in the school?
Each building has what's called a learning center that does have a library, yes.
And do you have citizen input about what books should not be in those libraries?
There is a mechanism in place for that to occur. To my knowledge, it hasn't been exercised in the 4 years that I've been on the board. In general, when instead of going through formal channels, if a resident, or a parent, or community member sees something like that, they'll typically just call the building principal and discuss it. And if that even happens at all, the board rarely has a view of it. There hasn't been anything major, and like I say, I'm not aware of any questions about materials in our libraries that have occurred over the past 4 years.
I have one other question. On the it's five people running for four slots in your race.
Mm-hmm.
Of the five people, how many are members of the NEA in other districts?
There are none that are members of the NEA, but that was an interesting question that you brought up. One candidate, his wife teaches in our district, and she would be a member of the, well, it would be presumptuous to assume that she, you know, which union she's a member of, but she's a member of the CEA, the local union. Another candidate, his wife teaches in a different district, and I would imagine is a union member. The third candidate has been substitute teaching and is working to obtain a teaching certificate. And the fourth candidate is president of the Education Foundation, and his wife is a PTO president. So, you know, and then there's me that has really no connection to the public education cartel.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for pointing that out, John. Okay. All right, let's move on. We have Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
All right.
In regard to the Tea Party, I think I saw something you'd mentioned, Crystal Lake in Chicago. I thought I saw something about one in Lisle. Are you aware of that?
I'm not aware of that one. There could be, you know.
Because I've been trying to get on the taxdayteaparty.com site, and for some reason I can't connect to it today, so there must be a whole lot of people getting to it or something.
I don't know about these others. I strongly urge, I think this could be such a huge event if we all get to one place, if we can do it. I know, I understand some people just can't do it. They can't get down to Chicago, but I would really recommend going to this Chicago event. It's going to be great.
Well, I was trying to decide Chicago, well-publicized, or one of the others that's not so well-publicized. It would be a shame to have just, you know, one or two people there, you know. So maybe we can have thousands at all of them.
Well, I'll take thousands at one of them. It would be good enough for me. Okay, Dan, thanks for your call.
Well, like I said, I'm not sure whether I want to go to Chicago or whether I want to go to Lisle or Crystal Lake. I don't know.
Okay.
It's kind of a toss-up, but we'll see somebody somewhere.
Very good. All right.
Hey, you guys, have yourselves a good week.
All right. We're talking with Chris Jenner, candidate for re-election of the Cary School Board, and we will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
And you may see me tonight.
All right. Thank you, John Prine. And we are back with Chris Jenner running for Cary School Board. And, well, we got about just a minute or two left, Chris. If we're going to have mandatory schooling, which I oppose, but if we're going to have it, I'm wondering if maybe we should push for a free market economics course being required to be taken before graduating. It seems to me the dearth of it, of economic, real true economic education in this country is one of the reasons that this country is going down the tubes.
Certainly that, and you know, I think we need to look at exactly what students are being taught regarding the Constitution and their government. Right. Real quick, I just want to mention, let me plug my website, www.chrisjenner.org. Right now it's set up to be a campaign website, but there's a link at the very top that says, for my regular site, go here. If you click on that link, I've got a number of articles about things that have been going wrong in government schools, you know, practical information, and there's also a full page on various school corruption links. Real briefly, we talk a lot about the dumbing down of America. I've got an article that I put together. I pulled information about the Illinois State Achievement Test, and just a summary. In 1999, on the ISAT test, these are tests that are given to 3rd, 5th, and 8th graders. In the math section, in 1999, they had three 35-minute sessions to complete 90 questions. By 2003, 5th and 8th graders were allowed to use calculators on the math test. by 2000, yeah.
All right, we got 10 seconds, Chris.
2006, the time had increased, the number of questions had gone down, and the rating to meet expectations had gone down. So, anyway.
Amazing. Chris, best of luck to you on the election tomorrow. Thank you very much. Oh, quotation week, just remember that eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
This is the home of the most amazing show on the radio, The Radio Shop.